What would you change in your life? What if you could unleash the miraculous in your everyday life? Experience freedom. Live in peace. Change the world. Become Spirit Contemporary. Join Leon Fontaine, world-renowned conference speaker, senior pastor of Canada's fastest-growing church, and CEO of Canada's only Christian TV station.
I am righteous because of Jesus. That exchange of Him living perfectly is why I am qualified for every promise in the Bible. But we got to start to believe it.
In John 10:10, it says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So why is there such a disconnect between this biblical promise and how most Christians live today? Why have so many believers become spiritually weak and ineffective at sharing Jesus' message of love? The Spirit Contemporary life is the answer. It's being led by Holy Spirit, but in a contemporary way. It's being Jesus and demonstrating His love in ways people can understand and appreciate. Spirit Contemporary is unique for everyone. It never compromises the truth, and it never makes others feel uncomfortable. It's freeing yourself from religious constraints and walking freely in God's amazing grace for His purpose. The Spirit Contemporary life is absolutely crucial if the global church and her people are going to change the world. And now, from Winnipeg, Canada, Pastor Leon Fontaine.
There's a verse in the Bible that very clearly says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So much of the body of Christ seems to have abandoned the gospel, and they've created some kind of wimpy hybrid that does not work when it comes to God's power in our cities, our nations, or to even get the global harvest off. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." You see, when you start to believe as a Christian that, well, we're just sheep to the slaughter, like we talked about last time, then that belief begins to determine what you reach for. And Christians don't believe that we can lead countries from presidents to prime ministers to healthcare to finance. We're just, you know, just Jesus come rescue us. The end times teaching, so much of it is all about someone's got to come. Jesus come rescue us from this, you know, the big bad devil and the big world is taking over and all the craziest teachings I've heard from the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming back. I know that. And let's go and occupy. Let's get out there and share the news with people. When you don't preach the gospel the way Jesus won it, then you strip it of its power. It just becomes another religion. People love the teachings of Jesus. They love the man, the historical man, Jesus. But to really walk in the power of God is to believe He rose from the dead. And that, what did that do for you and I? His death, His burial, His resurrection. And listen to me, we're not going to be able to see our cities free from the things that are going on. We're not going to see any changes in the news as cities fall, provinces, states, countries, as evil just begins to rise up. And Christians, they'll just stand around and say things like, "Well, we sure got to pray more." Where in the world do we just pray? Yes, we pray for leaders and all of those in positions of power. But what the early church did was share the gospel. Share the gospel that there's power in the name of Jesus to heal your body, to restore your home. There's power that when the Church of Jesus Christ begins to believe who they are, that all of a sudden things change. One of the things that I have noticed is that there is a lack of understanding in so much of the church world today in the understanding of you are righteous. Because we use that differently in our society. Righteous to us means that, you know, that you're perfect, that you don't make any mistakes. But that's not what it is saying here about you and I being righteous in the new covenant. It is saying here that Jesus has qualified us with his death. The Bible teaches us that we are righteous as a gift. You don't have to earn it. That's works righteousness. That's self-righteousness. But when you believe that you are righteous as a gift and that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, the reason that is such a crucial doctrine and it's such a crucial truth is because you can't make the promises work till you get this basic truth. Who are you? Oftentimes when I'm speaking at places, I'll say, how many here are righteous? And you'll see one or two halting hands go up because they don't want to be bragging. They're not trying to lie and say that they're, you know, they don't do anything sin or anything wrong. But see, that's not what the Bible's talking about. It is talking about your position with Christ, that you are righteous as a gift, that your spirit man is pure, undefiled. Jesus is in there. Yes, you're renewing your mind. Yes, you're making your body a living sacrifice. But the Bible's very clear. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, having been justified, which means made righteous, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when some storm goes on or something, we're going through a difficult time, or we look ahead at the world and we go, oh man, I don't know. There's a peace that is yours because you and God are in right standing. And what God does for the righteous is what the new church, the new covenant church, seems to not understand. In Romans 5:17, it says here that we have been given a gift of righteousness, and that we are supposed to reign like a king in life through Jesus Christ. When you begin to believe that you are righteous, then you can begin to believe for his grace. What is his grace? His grace is his ability, his favor, coming to you and I freely. But if we do not understand righteousness, well, we have no hope of regularly walking in his grace, his incredible ability and favor that comes to us. Every time you say, I'm righteous and the favor of God comes upon me and is upon me, all of these things will be flowing in your life. In Proverbs 12, 28, it says, in the path of the righteous is life. And in the way of that path is no death. See, life is a continuum. Life just keeps growing and flowing. Life in body, mind, health, kids, grandparents, jobs, you know, and as everything, life, this life of God, it's a continuum. And death is not a part of that continuum. Yes, I know that right now we're all going to go to heaven to be with Jesus. But while you are alive, you are to believe that life is the continuum. Moses was 120 and his eye hadn't dimmed or his natural forces abated. So to our grandpas and grandmas, even sickness and disease and all these things, we think that wow, we're getting older, it's just part of the course. No, it's not. When it's time to go, in the Old Testament, the Bible says your breath or your spirit just leaves your body and you go to be with him. You don't have to go out sick and dying and afflicted and tumor-filled and cancer-filled. All of our families are dealing with these things, but we need to get back to a basic belief of the Word of God that says that there is no death in our path as righteous people. In Psalms chapter 5 and verse 12, it says there that God's favor is over our lives and that this favor is protected from being going like a shield. Wow! In Psalms 31, 18, it says here that lying lips that come against his righteous be put to silence. When people rise up and lie about you and attack you and say grievous things about you, contemptuously taking you on, which goes on everywhere, especially if you raise your head up to speak truth. Today, it's hard to find somebody who will speak truth, because the second you say something truthful, you're going to be attacked. People are going to say things about you. They're going to blog about you. They're going to separate you and come against you. And so I'm talking with people who say, I'd love to speak up, but if I do, and I've got news for you. Before you do start speaking up when you can, should, I mean, the God will guide you in what to say and how to say it, but you need to believe that when people begin to lie about you, when they begin to speak grievous things about you, contemptuously come against you, that I am the righteous of God. And the Bible says he's going to silence those lips. Let him decide how he does that. But because you're righteous, the word promises that. In Psalms 32:11, it says the righteous have such joy that they're happy and shouting and rejoicing. They're upright in heart. We need to practice that. We can't just always be so serious that everything, our kids got to see us loving the beach, laughing when we get together, barbecuing, board games, water skiing, whatever we do, we know how to enjoy this life. There's a joy that's unspeakable and a full of glory. The righteous are the ones that have this joy, this happiness, this rejoicing. In Psalms 34:15, it teaches us there that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Because of the righteous, the second something bothers them, God, he's there. He's not, everyone said, well, God answers three prayer, you know, prayer three ways. Yes, no, wait. No, that's not even biblical. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. We need to get back to believing that we are the righteous because of Jesus, and that all of these favors are always working in our lives. In Psalms 34:19, it says here that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Stuff is going to come against you. Things are going to go wrong left, right, and center at times. But it says God will deliver you out of them all. People will try to hurt your business. People will try to shut you down on Facebook. People will try to do, and you know what? Don't even worry about it, because it says here that he will literally deliver you from every attack. As you begin to understand that you are the righteous, you begin to lose your fear of standing up for what is right. Hey, in the Old Testament, or I'm saying in the Bible times, they stood up was for right, and it cost them their lives. We don't have to worry about that most of the time in today's world. The Bible says in Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. When people begin to do wicked, evil things, that very evil takes them out. But it's, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. That means that when anyone comes against you, when you believe that you are righteous and they're trying to shut you down, you feel sorry for them. I'll never forget the day that Dad and I were talking one day about me saying, okay, I'll go into the ministry, because I knew that I was called, but I did not want to go into the ministry. I wanted to get, but as we started talking about it, he made this point, Leon, never worry about the people that lie about you, come against you, that they try to trip you up. They attack your motives. They attack your character. He says, don't even worry about them. You just trust God and keep declaring that every mouth that rises against you, you put it down and God will deal with it. And I'm so glad he shared that with me. And by the way, that is not for pastors. That's for every believer. This is the righteous that we're talking about, which is you. Man, it says in Psalms 37 and verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken. Well, what does that mean? Well, when someone's arms are both broken, how are they going to hurt you, come against you, attack you? It's literally saying, and then it says, for the Lord, he upholds the righteous. When people come against you, when things come against you, I've never seen a world like we deal with today where you don't dare stand up for righteousness. You don't dare share what you think. You can't really get up. And by the way, we should say it in a spirit contemporary way. But it's stunning how nobody wants to stand out. We all just want to be, just blend and blend. The Church of Jesus Christ isn't called to blend. It's called to lead. And it's called to speak truth. And when evil, who cares what group it is, rises up, we stand strong shoulder to shoulder and declare, no, someone must speak up the truth. And I'm not talking about your arrogance, your anger, and some of the stupid things that Christians do when they speak up. No, I'm talking about using wisdom. In Psalms 37, 25, I've been young and now I am old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. It is saying that as you just know who you are and believe God that you are righteous, and then you can believe him for his ability and all these promises. You look to the future with this belief that we're not only just going to be okay, we're not just going to make it, we're going to lead. We're going to be the head and not the tail. In Psalms 37, 32, it says the wicked tried to trip up the righteous here, or the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. It is saying here that the wicked will even study what we're doing, and they'll try to put in lies. They'll try to trip us up. They might come against you and try to figure out a way to take you out. Listen, all the schemes of the devil and evil, wicked people in your business, in your schools, the things we deal with, trust God. Rise up with wisdom. He's going to see us through. In Psalms 37, 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Are you going through trouble? What area? Trouble in your finances, trouble in your home, trouble with your teenager. It doesn't matter where the trouble is. The Bible says that God gives you strength to walk that thing out into victory. In Psalms 55, 22, cast your cares on the Lord, it says here. It says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you, for the righteous will never be moved. Moved off of the blessing, moved off of the call of God, moved off of the way God has put us together to win and to not lose. If we could understand, I've hardly touched. I mean, I've just about read off 18 promises, and there's probably another 50 that continually say, this is what is for the righteous. This is what is for the righteous. So what does Satan do? He attacks the fact that we're righteous. And so many Christians, they don't understand. If you ask them, are you righteous? They would say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, given to me as a gift because of what Jesus did on the cross. And it qualifies me for every promise I can find in the Bible. His grace is flowing in my life. And you just begin to talk because you've spent time in the Word of God. In Psalm 72, it says, in his days shall the righteous flourish. Church people tend to believe that the world flourishes and we struggle. No, the righteous flourish. You got to start believing that. And the abundance of peace. There will be an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Well, I thought in the end times we wouldn't have much peace, you know, with the mark of the beast and everything else. The promise is if the moon is hanging in the sky, the righteous have the favor of God on their lives, and every promise in the Bible still works, and it doesn't say except, except, except. In Psalm 75, it says, all the horns of the wicked I will cut off, says God, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. That word horns means the power, that whatever power that people are wielding against the gospel, against the righteous, he'll cut it off. But the powers and the giftedness and the authority of the righteous is going to be exalted and raised up. How many of us even realize that's in there? It says the righteous in Psalms 92, that you're going to flourish like a palm tree until you die. There is no season of your life where things aren't going to be flourishing into old age. And in this verse, it says in Psalms 92, 12 to 14, be planted in the house of the Lord so you can be continually reminded who you are in Christ and be around people of like precious faith. In Psalms 94, verses 20 to 23, again it talks about don't worry about crooked people coming against you. Don't worry about the attacks of the enemy. It says that God is going to protect you and that they are simply going to die off. You cannot be an enemy of God's people and live any kind of a successful life. But now here's the thing. If the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't believe this, then we're growing up in a nation where we all think we're the sheep. We're just being slaughtered like we expect. And hey, Jesus save us because we're the wimpy church just dying out, hoping to be rescued. We can't keep teaching our children this kind of garbage. They need to know who Jesus is and who we are as victorious in Christ. In Psalms, in Psalms 97 and verse 11, it says, light is sown for the righteous. It literally means that when you can't find your way, God will shine that flashlight on the dark path and show you what to do. If your job is to lead a company, He will give you illumination. He'll illuminate your darkness and show you where to lead that company. If you're going to be a premier of a province and you are a part of the righteous of God, He will give you as a premier. He'll shine His light and illuminate your darkness as to what decision to make. If you're the prime minister, if you're a president and you trust God, it says here, it is the righteous that light illuminates that darkness. In Psalms 125, 3, it says, "For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous." What does that mean? The word rod is talking about people in leadership. If you are the righteous and you believe that, the Bible says there should never be a leader above you that could ever hurt you, because the favor of God on your life says that the leaders in your company, the leaders that you're working for, the leaders in your province, the leaders in your city, that we should just expect that they are going to be righteous men and women of God. And if they're not, they get moved out, and what God wants gets moved in. But does the church even believe this? Do we even declare and rejoice that we are the righteous? And because of that, we have favor in the city, favor in the field, God's favor on our family, God's favor on our politics, God's favor on our television, God's favor on creativeness, God's favor on the arts. We just expect it's going to go to hell in a handbasket. And today I just want to suggest one thought to you. The righteous, Jesus died on a cross, and He says that He has given to you and I as a gift, that because I was nailed to that cross with Him, I died with Him, rose again with Him, I am righteous because of Jesus. That exchange of Him living perfectly is why I am qualified for every promise in the Bible. But we got to start to believe it. We've got to hear this preached from our pulpits. We've got to hear it preached from TV. You know, the time I get the most complaints and the most people coming after me will be when I begin to declare a victorious church. In whatever area, you get people that just write letters and, "Oh, wow, what about this?" I always tell them, go believe what you want, but I'm going to believe the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my challenge to you, change the way you think. Begin to declare the promises of God. And the one thing that you need to do this week, start this habit. Every morning you get up saying, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And because I am righteous, God will always be here for me. He'll go before me. He'll be my rear guard. He's in my body bringing health. He's in my mind bringing peace. He has taken out my enemies and not letting any strategy formed against me prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm raising up conquerors for Jesus Christ with my kids and my grandkids and all of those around." And you begin to declare, because you are righteous, every one of the promises in God's word you've been qualified for. And it was stunning, because in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 is a concept that is foreign to most Christians. It says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which comes to you as a gift, that everything you need on this planet will just be added to you. It'll just begin to come naturally to you if you begin to believe that I'm here and I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm here and I am righteous because of Jesus. Well, I'm not naive enough to think I'm perfect or that everything I do is right, but I know that every promise I ever find in any book of the Bible, I'm qualified for because of Jesus. Now I can get up, you can get up, and we can begin to declare who we are in Christ. Begin to declare who we are as a church. Now our kids have something to get excited about. Amen. Amen.
One of the greatest things people struggle with today is, who am I? So many people are trying to get their DNA checked out to see if they've got European in them and if they've got Mongol in them or they're from Indian descent from India, that they want to know, and they seem to feel a sense of, I got to find out who I am. And none of those things are your identity. It's good to be proud and not embarrassed of where you come from and to be excited about it, but your identity is in Christ. And I want to challenge you that you might think, I'm Canadian, I'm American, I'm East Indian, or whatever word, but you are Hevinian first. You are made in the likeness and the image of God, the language that you speak, the color of your skin, and whoever your forefathers were is not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. You're made in the likeness and image of God, designed in heaven, made by God, and that is the family. That is the predominant thing that you need to understand. God may use everything else in his purposes in your life, language, color of skin, background, and he will. But your identity is Jesus. Don't let anything take that away from you. And that is where you'll have a peace. That is where you will have a strength. Because whenever the enemy comes in to tempt you off course or to begin to make you feel like you are not enough, you need to know, I am a child of God. I know that the King of Kings is on the inside of me, that I was born with a purpose, and there's something I'm going to do for him. Father, I pray right now that we would release the things we cling to as our identity, failures, even victories, and we would look to you, Father, as the author, the finisher of our faith. We would look to you, Father, as our Father, and we would believe the things you say about us, not the things that our even human father or human people say about us, but what your word says about us and what you say about us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
It's no accident that you watch today's show. You are special and you have a destiny to fulfill. Our media ministry reaches some of the darkest corners of the world, and your support is what makes this possible week after week. You are vital. You can change a life. Act today